I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. The verses that Linda shared with the kids and with you earlier this morning. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born of the Jews? King of the Jews, we saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. As we look at the wise men this morning, let's go to God first in prayer, shall we? Father, as we consider a rather familiar story, Lord, again, as our prayer has been throughout this month, out of these familiar words, may we learn something new that will change our hearts, change our lives as we grow in our walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a traditional story of the wise men, and then there's the gospel story of the wise men. And they have as many differences as similarities, as Linda was pointing out. Beginning with the Middle Ages, the traditions or legends regarding these men have grown, but they're actually based on very little biblical fact. Today's scripture is the only record of the wise men, or the Magi. So using scripture, let's compare tradition with biblical facts. First, concerning the number of wise men that came to Jesus, if we were in the East, tradition says there are 12 to 14 wise men. Here in the West, we said there's only 3, but the Bible doesn't tell us. Since they brought 3 gifts, people assume they were 3 wise men. Tradition even gives them names: Caspar, Balthasar, and Melchior. But no matter how many times you read Matthew chapter 2, you won't find any names for the wise men. Also, contrary to tradition and even the song we sang earlier, they weren't kings. They were just wise men. We knew they were wise men because they were willing to leave home to find the one who's been born King of the Jews. It's assumed they traveled on camels, but the Bible doesn't tell us how they traveled or even from where in particular they came. The Bible said they were Magi from the east. That could mean Arabia, could be Persia, Iraq, Iran, someplace, East Asia. However, since Magi were generally found in Persia or Babylon, think of the book of Daniel. Many assume that this is where they came from. If this is correct, they had to travel about 900 miles to arrive in Jerusalem. So between planning and traveling, this trip would have taken many months. A trip of that length would include servants and soldiers, as well as the Magi themselves. So the group that showed up in Jerusalem would have been quite large and probably quite impressive. There are some biblical facts concerning the wise men. The gifts they brought were gold and frankincense and myrrh. And although they saw the star in the east, they didn't follow it to Jerusalem. It appeared where they were and then disappeared until they arrived in Bethlehem. That's why they had to wisely ask for directions when they got to Jerusalem. Another fact that gets ignored or twisted is the legend of where the place was that the wise men found Jesus and his family. Contrary to all the nativity scenes, including the one up in front, they didn't find Jesus in a manger surrounded by shepherds and angels and displaced animals. If you were paying attention, we read verse 11 that says, they came to the house. They saw the child. Child is a different word than for a baby. By the time they arrived, Jesus and his family had left the manger. They'd moved into a house. Jesus was no longer a baby. He was a child, an infant, somewhere between 1 and 2 years old. Jesus was younger than two. So when Herod, as Linda read earlier, as Herod sent soldiers to kill babies, he picked two as being the highest number possible and kill all the boys younger than two. But that was in case that Magi had miscalculated or deceived him. This way, this new pretender to the throne to be sure to be eliminated. And Herod, who's quite paranoid, would be protected. Since the wise men had left home to find the one who'd been born king of the Jews, they went straight to the capital of Judea, Jerusalem. This was the obvious place to find a king. Since they, as foreigners with limited spiritual knowledge, knew about this historic birth, they would assume that everyone in Jerusalem, and really all of Judea, would have known about this special baby. They must have been shocked when, as they kept asking, no one knew what they were talking about. They must have been quite disappointed and somewhat disheartened that after their long trip, no one had a clue about this new king of the Jews. The only thing their questions seemed to do was to get everyone riled up. King Herod was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Matthew didn't identify or explain the star they saw. But not surprisingly, people come up with a plethora of theories. What it really was isn't important. If it were, the Bible would have given us more information. What is important is that the Magi saw what they identified as an information-giving star and came to Jerusalem because of what it meant to them. There's no evidence, contrary to the song, that they followed the star or that it continued to shine throughout their journey. It gave them just enough information to put them on the right road, the road to Jesus Christ. They came in faith to worship the newborn King of the Jews. They said, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We have come to worship him." For a variety of reasons, they left home to come on this dangerous journey. Adventure, the search for knowledge, romance, wealth. But regardless of the reasons, the wise men came in faith to worship him. They had no doubts that he had been born. Their question was, where is he? They'd seen the star. The evidence was real. Now, where is he? They had faith that he was alive, that he existed. Now, all they needed to do was to find him. They had come to worship him. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And so in faith, they were willing to risk everything to find him. The wise men were willing to leave the safety of their homes to risk a journey full of difficulty to seek this special king. Matthew 7, 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." Their faith in seeking out the king would be rewarded. Hebrews 11, 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So in faith, the wise men traveled maybe 900 miles, 1,000 miles to fall down before the king of the Jews. God has spoken to them through the stars, and like Joseph and the shepherds, they had heard and they had responded to God's call. God had promised back in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And since they were seeking, they were about to find him. King Herod, he was disturbed by their questions. The people of Jerusalem were troubled by their insistent questioning about this so-called king. The chief priests and teachers of the law were indifferent to their request. But the wise men, never gave up. They had trials on their journey. They had trials in Jerusalem. But their persistence would be rewarded when they finally saw Jesus. In John 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "All the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive out." The wise men came in faith. King Herod was disturbed by their questions. The people were troubled. And the chief priests and leaders were indifferent. But they had come to worship. As we read, after Herod questioned the chief priests and teachers of the law, he secretly called the Magi and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Herod's concern was for the time of the star's appearance, not its meaning, not its significance. All he wanted to know was the time of the birth of the one who would be a threat to his own power, to his position. The time of the star's appearance would indicate the age of the child who had been born, the age of the child who must die. After getting the information he wanted, Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem, a small village 5-6 miles southwest of Jerusalem. The Lord rewarded the Magi's persistence and faith and gave them some detailed help, which led them directly to Jesus Christ. God sent a star. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. That this star was not a real star is evident from the fact that it was able to stand directly over the house where Jesus and his family now lived. Perhaps it was like that pillar of light that led the children of Israel in the wilderness. Maybe it was an angel. Maybe a host of angels, like those that appeared to the shepherds. We don't know. Regardless of what it was, the Magi were overwhelmed that the special star reappeared to them. It's almost as if Matthew was at a loss of words to describe their joy. One translation says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." They were beside themselves with joy when they had this special star show them where Jesus was. As we saw earlier, Jesus didn't find Jesus in a manger. They found him in a house. And when they came to Jesus and his family, they didn't worship Mary. We read they bowed down and worshiped him. No doubt the Magi were delighted to meet Mary and Joseph. These were special people. They had been specially chosen by God, entrusted by God with the care of his own son while he grew to manhood. But the wise men only worshiped Jesus. Only he was God. Only he was worthy of worship. Matthew wrote that they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. These gifts were part of their worship. They weren't an addition. In their faith, they had planned on doing this from the day they left home. They had come prepared to worship, and they had brought their best. They brought gold, the most precious of metals, to honor a king, the King of Kings. They gave him frankincense, a costly, sweet-smelling incense that was used in the temple in the worship of God. And they gave him myrrh, a valuable perfume. Myrrh, which was used in preparing mortal human bodies for burial. Gold for his royalty, frankincense for his deity, myrrh for his humanity. They had thought about what to bring. They'd come prepared to worship the King of the Jews. And finally, they went away changed men. They went away changed men. With their mission of worship and adoration completed, the Magi left Bethlehem. No doubt they expected to hear at a later date the details of the life and succession to the throne by the child born in Bethlehem. They'd planned on returning to Herod, as he had asked. But after worshiping Jesus and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I suspect that after finding and worshiping Jesus, they were changed on the inside as well. They'd followed God's leading. Their faith had been rewarded. Their encounter with the Son of God must have changed him just as it changes everyone who encounters him. Jacob wrestled with God and never walked the same the rest of his life. Isaiah stepped into the presence of God and was changed. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Let me show you. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, begin verse 1. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 6, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling one to another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory.' The sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am unruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" Isaiah was never the same again. Job questioned God over and over about his reason for all of his sufferings. And when God answered, Job replied in Job chapter 40, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." Job met God and became a changed man. The wise men had seen God. They undoubtedly went away, changed men as well. It's Christmas time. We hear the story of the wise men. They were wise because they had faith. They were wise because they worshiped God. They were wise because they were changed by God. All this happened because they met a tiny, small child. So how about you? Do you come to the Son of God in faith? Remember we read earlier from Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it's impossible to please God." In Ephesians 2:8 and 9 we read, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast." You can't be saved from your sins or an eternity in hell without faith in Jesus Christ. In John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Then in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Contrary to the world, there's only one way to heaven, Jesus Christ. Because of their faith in God's promise, the wise men left home, traveled 1,000 miles to honor the King of the Jews. Their faith changed their lives. Does your faith change your life or affect your life? Do you live your life in faith in God? If you want to live a victorious, satisfied life, you need to live in faith in Jesus Christ. Turn back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Way back by the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the Son as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." To live a satisfied life, you need to live in faith in God. I guess the other question thinking about the wise men is, how do you worship Jesus? The wise men left everything to go and worship Jesus with the best that they had. They sacrificed their own comfort, their time, their safety to find the King and worship Him. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Begin verse 37. Matthew chapter 10, begin verse 37. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 14. Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Like the wise men, to truly worship Jesus Christ requires sacrifice. In love, Jesus came to die on a cross in your place. The greatest gift, the greatest sacrifice you can give to God is yourself in return. The effort you make to worship God is your sacrifice to him. God doesn't need things. He owns all of this. What he wants is for us to willfully give ourselves to him. What he wants most of all, above everything else, is you. He wants your heart. He wants your attention 24/7. So the question is, what are you willing to give him? Are you willing to give him your best? Are you willing to go on a spiritual journey to worship him? Are you willing to give up your comfort zone to follow Jesus Christ? The wise men were. Are you? Romans 12:1, Paul writes, I urge you, brothers, sisters in Christ, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. God wants all of you, your heart, your mind, your attention. And finally, has knowing Jesus Christ changed your life? Learn from the examples of people in the Old Testament. Learn from Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men. Step out in faith. Seek him. Worship him. And allow him to change you, just as he changed so many others. Let's pray. Lord, help us to learn from the wise men, from the shepherds, from Mary and Joseph. Lord, to give ourselves completely to you, to be used by you, to go if you tell us to go, to speak when you tell us to speak. Lord, help us to be changed. May our lives, our words, as well as our actions, demonstrate to others that we are your children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.